A fiery dagger came out of the billowing plume of smoke and streaked past the APC to slam into the dune behind. A sandy hill heaved and blew apart, a roiling column of fire rising into the rumbling sky. Kneeling over the exposed engine, Gauza still flinched as the concussion rumbled over the dead warwag. Okay, that bitch had the range, but not him. Not him. Feverishly, the Baron worked on the diesel, trying to remove pieces of the dead comm system to replace the missing parts, and getting nowhere. Damn that girl. The APC engine had been too often repaired, and was far too easy to wreck. He had been a fool to try to recruit the girl. But when those rags came off and he saw the pale, trembling figure, reason and logic had fled as blind lust took over. Now he was paying the price. Standing in the open turret, Allison triggered a long, sweeping blast from the 25mm cannon, angling the barrel ever higher in wide circles. She knew the shells didn't have the true range to reach the traitor, but she would gain valuable distance by shooting high and allowing the shells to arc downward. However, there was no way to see through the smoke of the city, and she was guiding her shots purely on the feeling she was receiving of approaching death. That had to be the traitor. Who else could possibly challenge her husband? Going to the rear doors, Kathleen extended a law tube and started to open the lock. Rushing close, Gauza slapped the weapon from her hand, and it hit the metal floor in a clatter.
Stop that! Save the ammo!
The Baron towered over her.
They're too far away for the rockets. Even the 50 can't reach them.
Against the wall, Kathleen raised two fingers and quickly brought them toward each other.
Yes, I know that.
Gauza clenched both fists, the greasy wires from the engine still dangling impotently in his grip.
She's coming fast, and with everything they got on the trips.
Reaching out to touch the tangle of wires, the woman asked her husband an urgent question with her eyes.
Useless.
Gauza threw aside the fistful of assorted wires.
Without the proper parts, the same damn parts, we're not going anywhere in this tin box.
Stomping her boot, Allison got everyone's attention and pointed around at the LAV-25, then raised two fingers and pointed one into the fiery ruins. The landscape shook once more as Gauza raked stiff fingers through his hair, but he was forced to agree. Their only hope of surviving was to be mobile. Use the greater speed of the APC to outmaneuver the traitor's lumbering war wags and strike from the dunes. A night creep in broad daylight, hit and get, which left him no options at all. He would have to go after the wiring in the second APC below the cliff. Gauza went to a rack and grabbed an M16 recovered from the convoy in the park. He worked the bolt, chambering around, and slung the blaster over his shoulder.
Kathleen, you're coming with me. Allison, repair the landmines. Lay them out in a diamond pattern around the wag. That may buy us some time. Don't bother to bury them. The damn things may not work, but at least it'll scare the traitor into going slow if she sends more bikes.
Closing the top hatch of the war wag, the Doomy waved both hands in a mime of driving a Harley to ask about the motorcycles outside.
After you're done with the mines, try and find three that work.
He stuffed his pockets with spare clips and grins.
If I can't find what we need in the other APC, then we'll ride out of here and mine the war wag to blow.
Ducking under the empty framework of a radar unit long gone, the Baron grabbed some canvas gloves and tossed Kathleen a pair.
Stay, Razor.
Gauza stuffed another set of gloves into his gun belt.
Allison will be busy up here, so we'll be on our own down there.
Sliding on the gloves, the slim redhead nodded and collapsed the tube on the law rocket, making the sights retract. Expertly, she hung it across her back and grabbed an AK-47 from the Ville Armory. It was her preferred blaster, and most of the ammo was hand-loaded by her or the other wives. She considered homemade ammo much more dependable than the pre-dark stuff, no matter how well it was preserved inside sealed plastic boxes. Stepping to the turret, Gauza grabbed his first wife by the scruff of the neck and pulled her close for a hard kiss.
Don't you fucking die on me. If things go to shit, set the ammo bins of the wag to blow and slide down the cable to join us below. This is far from being over.
Brushing some loose hair from his face, Allison nodded at her husband, then turned to do the same to her sister standing by the aft doors. The women shared a moment of understanding, wishing the other goodbye. In spite of what their beloved husband said, the chances of this working were virtually zero, but they would stand by him to the end. Pushing past them both, Gaza threw open the rear door and stepped outside. The air was murky with smoke and the drifting dust from the missile hits. Hurrying among the sprawled forms of dead SEC men and their bikes, Gaza reached the winch and checked the nuke batteries on the electric motor. He was relieved to find the machinery working perfectly. At least that much was going his way. Kathleen joined him at the winch. Stuffing his hands into the stiff gloves, Gaza freed the cable, and together they dragged it to the edge of the cliff and started to snake it down. When it reached the bottom, the Baron locked the winch tight, and Kathleen started over the edge of the cliff to grab the cable. She started to slide down, using her boots to break the speed. The gloves grew uncomfortably hot in only a matter of yards, but the woman kept going and gratefully released the hot woven steel upon reaching the ground. Gaza was already sliding down the cable and landed only a few seconds later. Sliding was a dangerous way to use the cable, but the fastest way to reach the city, and time was against them right now. Every moment counted. Anchoring the cable in case Allison had to follow, the man and woman readied their blasters and charged into the morass of rubble and wreckage that ringed the burning city, firing sporadically at anything that moved.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.
Years after the nukes have rained upon the Earth, the inhabitants of a self-inflicted hell discover there might be more to Skydark than just disagreements between countries. Outlanders. Only from Cutting Audio. www.cuttingaudio.com